Well, every city has parades and public gatherings, but how many of these public gatherings billed as family-friendly have drag queens leading the celebration?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we were at the Gay Pride event in Charlotte this past Saturday. Yes, it was moved to the heart of the city. Yes, there was a real concerted effort by the organizers to make a public statement. And even Duke Energy, Duke Power, the local power company, had its building lit up in the gay rainbow colors, actually God's rainbow, but used as gay rainbow colors over the weekend to celebrate Pride Charlotte. And the mayor, for the first time, addressed the group. But I'll tell you, being at their event with hundreds and hundreds of believers who were there to share the gospel, to reach out in love, to give away thousands of free bottles of water that said, Jesus loves you, all of us wearing God Has a Better Way t-shirts. You know what I felt when I was there? Kind of overwhelming measure. And others that I spoke with felt the same. A lot of pain, a lot of hurting people, a lot of people in need. And as we talked to a number of different people, we had folks in there. Oh, 50, 60 of our folks went in there without the God Has a Better Way red t-shirts just so that they could share the gospel individually and find people that wanted to talk in a way where there'd be even less sense of confrontation or anything like that. Fact is, there was a lot of pain. And people that we spoke with, a good number, talked about being victims of sexual abuse in their childhood. Fascinating, isn't it? Boy, a lot to talk to you about, a lot I want to share with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Not surprisingly, the local newspaper terribly misreported what happened. I'll tell you why I say not surprisingly in a little while. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Before I tell you more about the event. We've been focused on this for some months in prayer and looking to make an impact and working with as many different churches together, others organizing the event in great detail. I got to participate on different levels as a voice and as one of the co-organizers, but others put it together, did the hard work, and then many churches, many ministries, many believers came together. I want to focus on some of the personal issues here. I want to focus on what was happening in different lives, and I want to focus on how wrong it is to say that this was an event, to quote from one of the event organizers, this was an event to show we're just as valid a community group as any other, and it was held in the heart of the city, according to the organizers, in order to promote acceptance, to think of an event wanted to promote acceptance in the city, one where the mayor of the city addresses the Gay Pride event for the first time, and the local power company lights up its building in rainbow colors. Again, this is not New York City or Atlanta or San Francisco. This is Charlotte, North Carolina. To think that an event intending to promote acceptance and show the validity of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community featured prominent entertainment by drag queens, some in hot pink wig and matching knee-high boots. Isn't that a little bit ironic? Isn't a little bit ironic that a group saying we want to be accepted as valid by everyone else would so flaunt those things that draw attention to it and make us remember this is not a matter of ethnicity. This is not a matter of being black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American. There is nothing moral or immoral attached to skin color or ethnicity, but there are behaviors that are immoral and behaviors that are wrong, behaviors that are shameful, not sources of pride. And I want to talk about the human element and an unbelievable story when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Something was just put on my desk a few days ago, and I'm not sure why it took so long to get to us. Perhaps it was sent to an old mailing address and then got forwarded, but it was sent in early May, and it had a clipping from April of this year, April 2011. The woman that sent this to us lives in Suffern, New York, and this is from the New York Daily News. And the article said this: lesbian mother, you get 10% off. It pays to be a lesbian mom in Park Slope. Boeing, a maternity and breastfeeding store, is offering a special discount exclusively for same-sex mothers. They get an additional 10% off their total purchase at the store on the corner of 6th Avenue and Union Street. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, let me go one step further with you've got to be kidding me. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me put a question out to you before I give you my next you've got to be kidding me story. Why do you think in most gay pride events in America there is such a small Christian presence? And where there is a Christian presence, it tends to be marked primarily by those that will be out holding signs saying repent or perish. I don't mean they shouldn't be there. God knows who should or shouldn't be or who he's sending with what message. And all human beings who don't know Jesus, gay, straight, whoever, whatever, need to hear that message. Repent or perish is true for all human beings outside of Jesus. But why do you think there is such a small presence or a complete absence of Christian witness in gay pride events all over America? I mean, after all, Christians are grieved by these things. After all, some of them have several hundred thousand people. After all, some of them have been going on for decades. Why do you think there is so little Christian presence? Why do you think what we've done here by God's grace in Charlotte now on a couple of different occasions, 2009, 2011 being the largest numbers, we've had 400 or 500 believers sharing the gospel, making a difference, being present, praying, fasting in the midst of a gay pride event? Again, we're not the only ministries involved. When I say we, there are several working together to start. But why do you think there's so few that are actually there? 866-34-TRUTH. Are we intimidated? Do we not know what to say? Do we think the atmosphere is too polluting for us? Do we just kind of stick our heads in the sand as if nothing's happening? Just wondering. Okay, here's the other story that is so remarkable. I got to repeat it in the second hour as well. So if you're listening online, you'll hear it twice. One of the leaders in our ministry here, married with 6 kids. He's a faculty member at Fire School of Ministry. He's walking into the event. He's got a couple of older daughters, and everyone's participating in God Has a Better Way. We've got these red T-shirts on. Some of the folks are going on just wearing, you know, regular shirts without the red T-shirts just to share the gospel more conspicuously with people. But my colleague's wife is walking into the event with her 4 boys, age 5 to 12. So here's a Christian mom, actually a homeschooling mom, devoted to raising her kids in a moral, godly climate. And the kids are wearing T-shirts that says, God Has a Better Way. I want to make it clear, I wear those T-shirts different times of the year. I'll wear them walking into a grocery store. I'll wear them at different times because it's a universal message for all human beings. God has a better way. Well, she goes walking into the Pride Charlotte event. There are hundreds of us that walk in there handing out bottles of water and gospel tracts to those that would take them and engaging those that wanted to talk to us or just shaking hands and looking at people saying, God loves you. Well, she walks in there with her 4 kids and someone sees her and shouts out to her, you're corrupting the youth. Is that ironic or what? You Christian mom, with your 4 kids going into a gay pride event to share the gospel, wearing shirts saying God is a better way, you're corrupting the youth? You got to be kidding me. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. I received this email prior to the event from a well-known national gay activist who may be listening right now as I read his email. He says this: we were having some cordial correspondence about some other issues, comparing some life history where he had studied, etc., initiated by him, I should say, so cordial, friendly. He wrote this to me, though, right before our event. "You will say at your counter demonstration tomorrow," so he wrote this to me on Friday, "that God has a better way. I say, no, you need a better God. For us, our homosexuality is the best way. Your present false God is a sinful homophobic bigot who should repent of that sinful homophobic bigotry and the pain and suffering which she, he, it, they has inflicted upon gay people for some 4,000 years. We view our being gay as a wonderful stroke of good fortune and good luck, to be celebrated, not changed, even where that possible, which it only rarely is, if actually ever. Even if change to heterosexuality were simple, easy, quick, convenient, and cheap, which it never is, why should we want to swap what is for us a first-class superior homosexuality for what would be for us a second-class inferior heterosexuality? We do not. We are not struggling against our homosexuality, as you people always put it. We are enjoying our homosexuality to its fullest, exultantly, exuberantly, and joyously, including, of course, homosexual sexual behavior. If there be a God at all, then our homosexuality is a divinely inspired gift and blessing from that true God to be, as I said above, enjoyed to its fullest, exultantly, exuberantly, and joyously, and that includes sexually. That is truth. Do get a better God. Your present one is such a shoddy, inept, incompetent." And that's what he wrote to me on Friday. I wrote back to him, last night, "Thanks for the candid email. Your candor deserves such from me. The most glaring thing we witnessed at the Pride Charlotte event on Saturday was all the people in pain, and quite a few we spoke to shared the abuse they had suffered as kids. Homosexuality is not the answer for them. God's love is. When I read your email, I thought of a man who lived in a beautifully furnished cave and who thought that he was the happiest man alive, enjoying all the wonders and beauties of life. One day someone went into his cave and said to him, 'But you've never seen a sunset. You've never heard the roar of the ocean waves or felt the water at your feet. You've never seen a blue sky or a moonlit sky. Oh, what you're missing.' But the man in the cave castigated his fellow, assuring him that he was full of judgmentalism and bigotry toward cave dwellers. 'I pray, sir, you will experience something more wonderful than the glories of nature just described. I pray that you will meet with the love of the Heavenly Father, wishing you that sunset and more,' signed, me." I was in interaction with a gentleman who's had sex change surgery. His own story is that he was a committed Christian, married for 37 years with three children, finally could not overcome this intense feeling that he was a woman trapped in a man's body, was diagnosed as having gender dysphoria, and the medical solution was radical sex change surgery and hormones for life. Sadly, he related to me that it destroyed his marriage of 37 years, rendering his wife a virtual widow. He said, though, for the first time in his life, he has peace and God's blessing is on his life. And when I couldn't address him by his female name and conscience before God, I had to put it in quotes. And of course, I knew it was offensive to him. Of course, I know that he identifies now as female and says this is his legal name. And I even prayed about it because I didn't want to be hurtful to this individual who suffered so much already. And I asked the Lord about it. I mean, it was self-evident to me, but I stepped back and, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm approaching this wrongly. I felt convinced, no, God made him a man. And God's solution was not to rearrange or mutilate or change his God-given biological sex, but to help him from the inside out. Of course, he said he tried many times to change from the inside out and couldn't. I challenged him and said, listen, husbands are to lay their lives down for their wives. And ultimately, what you had to do was what was best for your wife in marriage, especially in the Lord, as opposed to doing something ultimately you felt you had to do to preserve your own life and destroy your marriage and destroy the relationship with your wife of 37 years. Well, all that to say, this gentleman with another woman who identifies as a committed evangelical Christian and is basically a gay activist now, apologizing to the gay community for how the church has hurt them. They were at the event together, and we got an opportunity to meet and say hi, and hopefully I'll get to spend more time with them face-to-face. In fact, I clearly took a picture with each of them. But when I met this gentleman, boy, my heart sank. My heart really sank. And there was someone else with me, didn't even know a lot of what was going on, and said, boy, that man looks so oppressed. Now, again, he'll tell you he's happy, he has peace. I'm just telling you, my heart sank when I saw him. And no one had to tell me that was a man. It was a man that God loves as a son. May the Lord intervene in his life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, this past weekend, between a Friday night prayer meeting we had, then Saturday night at an outreach concert, and then Sunday morning at our home church service, we heard testimonies from five different people who came out of homosexuality. There were three men. There were two women. One of the women technically came out of bisexuality, the other out of lesbianism, the three men out of homosexuality, and all of whom have said they've been changed by the power of God. In fact, one man that came out of homosexuality is now in a relationship with one woman that came out of lesbianism. And they're blessed. They're joyful. I met another man that was actually on our broadcast. A couple of them were on our broadcast a couple of weeks ago. And one of them was at our service Sunday morning with his wife. Got to meet them as a couple. And boy, they love the Lord and they love each other. What a great, joyful couple they make. And I had one young man stand up. It was on our radio show, but I had him stand up and talk to our whole congregation yesterday and explain what it's like growing up in a Christian home, in a Christian environment, when you think you're going to hell because you're gay. And everyone's going to reject you. And you listen to how people talk about homosexual issues, and you think, I could never talk to that one. I could never talk to that one. They don't understand. They're crass. They're crude. We're doing our best to sensitize our folks to the struggles, to the rejection, to the pain that's often experienced in the homosexual community. We had some tremendous prayer at the service yesterday morning for the love of God to be poured out in their midst and for the power of God to be demonstrated to deliver and transform. These things are painful and heartbreaking, which is why we go into the midst of an event with the gospel, but also because of an activist agenda, because of a desire to transform society, because of a desire to indoctrinate children, because of our desire that ultimately will suppress freedom of speech and religious rights of those who oppose. We see it happening constantly, undeniably. We're also there as a presence saying that God has a better way. We had a national leader with us, and he said, man, we've got to bring this to every city in America. We've got to export this. And all it takes is for Christians to gather together. Here, think of this. Just think of this. Can this be done in your city? Believers gather together, get a few key churches or ministries to organize. You get as many people as will come. To pray first, and then to gather together at a specific location, and to put on bright shirts that will identify them, so there'll be a presence, a noticeable presence. In fact, our presence was so noticeable when we were there early afternoon that one of our guys overheard one of the gay attendees saying, there are more straight people here than gay. And of course, that was not the statistic over the course of the day, but that was the feeling you had at a certain point, because there were so many of us handing out these bottles of water saying, Jesus loves you, and just making eye contact with wherever we could and reaching out to whoever we could. But is it that hard? There are churches with thousands of members. There are hundreds of churches with 50 or 100 members. Is it so hard for people to get together, put on these shirts, pledge that they'll walk in love, pledge that they'll be gracious, and then to walk into the midst of an event and hand out gospel literature if you've got budget for it, hand out bottles of water, or just love on people? Why aren't we doing that? 866-3000. 1-800-324-TRUTH. Richard in Baltimore, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, first of all, thanks for being on the program. I just wanted to say that gays know right from wrong. And if I'm correct, the first book of Romans says that he has already given up on those people. And we as Christians, we can try to talk to them. I try to talk to them on my job, but they don't upset me. So I just have to leave them up to the Lord, and they will find out two of the same kind cannot produce anything. Thanks for my comment.
All right. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate the call. A couple of thoughts. Yes, God did not design us to be two of the same kind coming together. It's not here. Come on. No matter who you are, no matter what you think, if you believe in a God who created, he didn't design a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. Obviously. And if that was the design, then we'd be able to reproduce with each other and have these other areas of compatibility, and we wouldn't have increased health risks and so on by coming together, down the list goes. So, I mean, that's self-evident, obviously, absolutely. But what about the idea of someone in homosexuality has been given over by God to judgment, and therefore, excuse me, there's no reason even to try to reach out to them? I appreciate what our caller just said, and I'm sure there are people with hardened hearts, but let me make this clear. Romans 1 is talking about the descent of the human race, into sin and away from God, okay? Now, you may be able to follow that in certain cultures. You may be able to follow that unfolding in certain times in history, but this is something that has happened historically. Human beings turned away from the one true God, the Creator, and gave themselves to idols. So God gave them over to these things. And then when we rejected him again, he gave us over to all types of sexual immorality. And we rejected him further. Then he gave us over to what the Bible refers to as a shameful lust. Men wanted to be with men and women wanted to be with women, and abandoning the natural function. And then when we abandoned him further, he gave us over to all kinds of unclean, sinful desires. So this is the degeneration of the entire human race. So the whole human race has rejected God in this context and been given over to sin, which is a sign of the wrath of God being revealed, the degree to which we are given over like this. That being said, Jesus comes and sheds his blood for every human being. Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus comes to bring us to repentance. He sheds the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike. And, in point of fact, there are many spiritual seekers in the homosexual community, and many would come to our churches if they felt we would affirm them in their condition or in their sexuality or in their romantic attraction or desire. And many will come wanting freedom as well. So God is at work. Jesus is drawing all people to himself. And we should continue to sow seeds of love and reach out where the door is open. And our message is not heterosexuality. Our message is holiness. Okay. Second hour today. So later today, I want to talk about the wrong coverage that came our way in the local newspaper and more about the event in this next half hour. But a very important resource announcement for you. There was a very moving story that has been reported nationally about David Berkowitz, known in particular in the New York area when he terrorized the streets of the city as Son of Sam, serial killer, wonderfully transformed several decades ago, went from Son of Sam to Son of Hope, and will gladly spend the rest of his life behind bars. Wishes he could go back and undo the damage he did. Of course, he can't. Lives with regret for that every day, but otherwise is a free man. We put together a powerful DVD called From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. Came out some years ago with this news story. We wanted to make it available again on DVD. You can get one for $15 or two copies for $25, and we'll pay the postage. It is a real life changer. Watch it. Show it in high schools, show it in prisons, show it in churches. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Order From Son of Sam to Son of Hope.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I wrote this article. It should be online probably today. I'll let you know where when it happens. It's called When Drag Queens Lead the Way, and a new twist on what it means to corrupt the youth. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. My question, why is it that we have such a minute presence in gay pride events? Why is it that we are not out by the hundreds, by the thousands as a presence sharing the gospel in the midst of these events and declaring that God has a better way? 866-348-7884. Our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. So this article, When Drag Queens Lead the Way, says this. On Saturday, August 27th, the LGBT community of Charlotte, North Carolina, held its annual Gay Pride event, an event that has taken place in Charlotte in different forms and under different names since the 1970s. This year, however, marked the first time that the event, called Pride Charlotte since 2006, reserved almost three full blocks in the heart of the city. As reported by the Charlotte Observer, the festival has been held uptown in Marshall Park or Gateway Village, but Saturday's event was the first to be held in such a prominent area, a move organizers said was made to promote acceptance. This push to promote acceptance was confirmed by Q-Notes editor and Pride Charlotte spokesman Matt Comer. We are just as valid a community group as any other. Ironically, these two comments, first about promoting acceptance and second about being just as valid as any other community group, immediately follow these lines. At the Wells Fargo Plaza, drag queens lip-synced to pop music for a cheering crowd. One in the hot pink wig and matching knee-high boots danced to Katy Perry's California Girls. Say what? How many other community groups feature prominent performances by drag queens at their events? Can you imagine crowds in a Hispanic Pride event or Black Pride event or Asian Pride event, just to name a few, being entertained by men wearing dresses or less, hot pink wigs and matching knee-high boots? And this is part of the LGBT strategy to promote acceptance? How telling. And how telling that, unmentioned by the Charlotte Observer, there was a large truck stationed next to the festival offering free HIV testing. Yes, just another typical community event. To be sure, the Pride Charlotte organizers have made serious efforts to host a family-friendly event. And in comparison to some other gay pride events, this one is quite tame. But can an event that allows vendors like bear encounters really be called family-friendly? Especially when one of the men handing out flyers for their booth is bare-chested with the exception of his leather harness? By the way, for those unfamiliar with the gay meaning of bear encounters does not offer wildlife tours of Yellowstone National Park. And their website has links to sites like Gay Bear Dating, not nationalgeographic.com. It's also a bit disconcerting to watch young men greet each other with exclamations of, "Hey, girl!" before exchanging pecks on the cheek. Does your average child find it confusing to hear men call each other girls? There are also other men who were, quite sadly, all too conspicuous. They walked around Pride Charlotte in various stages of their sex change journey with long hair, female breasts, and undeniably male features. And all this at an event designed to promote acceptance in the wider Charlotte community. Did I mention the post-event parties like Naked Sushi, where Pride Charlotte attendees were told that this will be the sexiest Pride after party in Charlotte on Saturday, August 27th. Enjoy the festival all day and then freshen up and come out dressed your sexy best and ready to party and have some fun. I guess family-friendly can only last so long before it's time to party. Then I mentioned the encounter took place. I've mentioned at the beginning of the show where a mom, Christian mom, with her kids wearing God is a Better Way t-shirts were accused of corrupting the youth. So this is the upside-down world of Pride Charlotte, where drag queens are celebrated and a Christian mom is castigated. Is anyone really surprised? And by the way, when someone lambastes me online for the cover of my book, Gay Man in California, all over me for the upset with the cover of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, how degrading, how offensive. Of course, it was meant playfully and to convey an image. When he blasts me for that, and yet you celebrate this at a gay pride event, are you kidding me?
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's some folks that just seem obsessed with attacking certain issues or attacking certain people. So sometimes I can be kind of like a light to a bug. I mean, they'll just draw around issues we're raising or incessantly come after me, which is fine. Don't mind it. Hopefully we can have constructive dialogue with them. And if not, at least expose the error of their ways for others that are viewing the conversation. But this one fellow just kept attacking issues on our God Has a Better Way Facebook page. We finally just had to ban him because his comments were too profane and abusive, and we wouldn't allow that no matter who they were attacking. We'll let it go longer when it's about me, but we still just don't allow it with anyone to be civil and to have a right platform in terms of communication and interaction. But he's so incensed about the cover of A Queer Thing Happened to America. I trust most of you listening have seen it, but if you haven't, it's got the title. It's in bright pink, and there's a man like from the knees down, just, you know, male legs, ankles, and he's wearing these bright pink slippers, which is an image the graphics company found and sent to us the potential cover. When we surveyed folks, all different folks, from heavy metal shops to Christian bookstores to seminary students to shoppers at the mall, I mean, you name it, overwhelmingly, this is the one people said, oh, I'd pick up that book. Oh, I'd pick up that book to see what it's about. If I didn't know who the author was or what the book was about, that cover would get my attention. And it was meant to be attention-getting and to convey in a picture, yeah, that's odd, that's queer, that's, yeah, absolutely. So that's bad. That's offensive. But it's not offensive to have at a, quote, family-friendly gay pride event, drag queens lip-syncing to pop music for a cheering crowd, one wearing a hot pink wig and matching knee-high boots. That's fine. That's fine. We should, in fact, applaud that. We should celebrate that diversity. But don't dare have something on a book cover that might suggest that, just a very catchy image to suggest it. Don't dare do that. That's offensive and bigoted. Can you see how this double standard is just completely irrational and completely unreasonable? 866-34-TRUTH. Donna in Germantown, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, brother. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
God bless. I heard you made a statement just a little while ago on the radio, and I just wanted to call in and maybe give another point of view on that. And you had made a statement that the church's stance is not heterosexual as opposed to homosexual. It should be about holiness. But I wanted to maybe just offer up another thought on that perhaps it should be more about holiness along with heterosexual behavior as far as the church is concerned. What do you think about it being both, about the holiness?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you being both. And if I wasn't clear on that, perhaps I said it in too short a period of time. It's very important that you called. My point is that the emphasis has to be on holiness. In other words, it is God never said, be heterosexual because I, the Lord your God, am heterosexual. He said, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And many, many gays and lesbians have been tormented trying to become heterosexual. They have done everything they knew how to do. They prayed, they cry out, they fasted, they went to therapy, they had demons cast out of them. They tried everything they knew how. I mean, their stories are heartbreaking. And they felt there was something intrinsically, inherently wrong with them because they couldn't become heterosexual. They tried to have relationships with the opposite sex. Some even married to try to think that would, quote, cure them. And it was disaster. Many of them then left the Lord. Some committed suicide. So it's very, very tragic to see what happens. And again, the first emphasis has to be holiness. In other words, there are behaviors, there are actions that are wrong, that are sinful, and we need to turn from those by the grace and power of God. Now, having done that, absolutely, Donna, there's something beautiful and wonderful about the male-female model that God has established. there's something wonderful about a true masculinity. I don't mean some, you know, earthly machismo kind of thing for men or just some outward sexuality for women, but a real masculinity and a real femininity and carrying qualities of God as a male, as a female, and then coming together as one, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's God's best. But that needs to follow on holiness as opposed to the goal being, well, you just have to become heterosexual. So is that more or less what you're thinking?
Yeah, I know the scripture in the Bible where John the Baptist, he went ahead of Christ and he said, I'm ahead of him, but I'm not worthy to even unloose his shoelaces. But I know there's an order to the way God does things, and his message was repent and be saved. And it didn't mean change. It didn't mean fix it. It didn't mean you have to do differently. It meant if any man will say I've sinned and it profited me nothing, him the Lord hears. So in that sense, when we turn to the Lord, I don't care what the sin is, and we say, I don't want this, I'm sorry, I do acknowledge it before you, and then you go to Christ. There's a twofold thing there. I've sadly experienced many instances, maybe this is just me personally, where I've seen congregations and things say, oh, it's okay if you're two males living together, just come on in and we love and accept you. But I don't think that is loving, Ben. I think so I think we're saying the same thing.
Let me just add this in, Donna. Jesus practiced transformational inclusion, not affirmational inclusion. He didn't affirm sinners, he transformed sinners. So when Jesus hung out, say, with tax collectors who were notorious for being corrupt then, and with prostitutes, when he hung out with those people, he did not help the tax collectors make more money through extortion. He didn't help the prostitutes make more money through illicit sex. He hung out with those people, and they were changed, and they left their old ways by his power and grace, by this encounter with God. So he transforms us, not affirms us. He does not affirm us in our sin. He transforms us from our sin. And you're right, it's the same with all human beings. Hey, Donna, thanks for weighing in.
Thanks.
All right. Again, friends, again, the important point is that we are not telling the homosexual community at a gay pride event, become heterosexual. We're telling them Jesus died for you to save you from your sins. All of us sin. All of us fall short. All of us are broken in one way or another. Turn to him. He'll have mercy on you and give you a brand new start, which begins with renouncing behaviors, attitudes that are wrong, begins with renouncing choices that we make that are wrong and sinful. And then as we walk with him, we are changed. We renew our minds through his word, our conduct, our attitude. Maybe a guy knows when he comes to the Lord, okay, I've got to quit drinking to follow Jesus and I've got to quit beating my wife. That does not make him now a good husband. That does not make him a compassionate individual. Taking off the old does not automatically give you the new. That's where growing in God comes in. That's where being conformed to his image comes in. That's where growing in grace comes in. That's where becoming like Jesus comes in. And then we have things changed in our lives. Wow, we had no idea about. And it was significant hearing testimonies from people who've been delivered from homosexual attraction over the weekend. A few of them said that when God touched them on the inside, it actually had, from their viewpoint, nothing to do with homosexuality. It had to do with other issues in their lives. And when God touched those things in their lives, they were changed and the other attractions disappeared. Let me say again, the main thing that was very evident walking around the Pride Charlotte event was how many people there were that were hurting. I just thought at a certain point, boy, if you could just kind of get a bird's eye view and see all the people there that were victims of abuse, it would have been so much higher, disproportionately, than your average population. Disproportionately. How many people were hurting? Even lesbians that that some of our folks spoke with. Yeah, I was abused by a man. I had this happen, that happened. That's why I'm here. As if that was the solution, as if rejecting men and being with women was the solution, as opposed to God healing a much deeper wound in her life. That's not the case with everyone there, but it was absolutely the case with some. You know what happened with one of our gals who was there? Gay guy came up to her and said, do you hate me? You're against me? She said, no, of course not. He said, would you give me a hug? She said, of course. Gave him a big hug. That's why we were there. We were sending a message, not affirming homosexual practice, not affirming drag queens, not affirming men coming up to their friends and saying, hey, girl. No, but affirming the fact that we're all created in the image of God, all woefully fallen without him, all needing mercy and repentance, and it comes through Jesus. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. One News Now, onenewsnow.com, just posted the article, When Drag Queens Lead the Way, right on their homepage. So take a read of that article. I read most of it to you just a few minutes ago on the air here, but just posted on onenewsnow.com. If you're at our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. We just posted it there. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, how are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Okay, I've never been homosexual, and I would say the 1977, but I've been in Boston and evangelizing since 1981, and the Lord has sent me to the gay pride parades here since 1993. And believe me, I would have much rather been in another area. But I'm going to tell you, when all these churches, there's many churches that march, and many of these churches teach these people that this is our right to be homosexual. They even have, you know, like, make it out almost like Jesus is a homosexual. And believe me, God wants people to be out there as a light in love, to preach the truth in love. Because believe me, the devil is deceiving people, and we are obligated to be in these places. And I really believe the reason why churches don't get out is I don't believe they have a burden for souls, any type of souls. Well, they're all souls, but, you know, there's two large churches in Boston where this march goes right by, and there's about 50,000 people or more that are in this. Now, how can they go into a church service and tell that we love Jesus and we love people and let 50,000 people go literally right by their door? Park Street Church and the Tremont Baptist Temple are right on Tremont Street. They could preach right out of their front door to those people.
Yeah, and Bob, let me say this. I don't know either of those churches, and I don't know what they do, if they do anything behind the scenes or anything. So I'm careful to speak about things in general terms, but I don't know specifics. But so let's talk about, and you may be entirely right, or they may be doing all kinds of things we don't know about, but let me just focus on a couple of really important things you said. Number one, that the most obvious, quote, Christian presence in the midst of the event is gay-friendly or gay-affirming churches or gay or lesbian pastors. That's present in the event, right. Whereas a consistent, clear, loving Christian witness saying that there's a better way, saying there's another way, is largely absent. Now, you'll generally have at these events a few people with signs saying repent or perish or homosexual behavior is an abomination or something like that. And whether God's sending them or not, that's between them and God. You know, I'm not saying what people should say or not say if they're quoting scripture. But I do know this. There's the caricature that you've got either the turn or burn crowd probably yelling at you, and the newspaper will get some picture of them where they're looking angry, holding a Bible, you know. And then you've got the wonderful gay-affirming churches where we just love everyone as they are, which, of course, is not helping anyone because God meets us where we are and then changes us. The other thing you point to, though, Bob, is sadly true, which is that we don't have, in America, a tremendous burden for the lost by and large. I could almost guarantee that in the vast, vast majority of churches in America, even evangelical churches in America, the vast majority, let's say the guys, are more affected by what happens in sports than whether their friends or neighbors are saved or lost. That you know, if here, when I'm from New York, you're from Boston, so when the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots in that classic Super Bowl game and spoiled New England's perfect season, I could almost guarantee you there was more joy in New York and more grief in Boston over that than if people had just been saved by the droves in New York or were lost by the droves in Boston. We're in a stupor. We're in a spiritual stupor. Revival has to begin with us. There's no question, sir. I agree with you.
Well, I'll tell you, you're doing what's right there, and I'm telling you that we will all give an account, and God help us, because, you know, Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, and I know the pastor's got to shepherd the people, but in this area here, it's pretty lean up here. I've been here since 1981, and I've gone out many, many, many times by the grace of God, and I want to tell you right now, there is going to be blood on people's hands one day that knew they were supposed to be witnesses. And in the early church, they prayed for boldness to go out.
Yeah.
So that means that they knew what they were going to encounter, and they didn't fear anybody but God himself, because they knew they had a mandate from God that they were to be the light and salt, and that they were to follow in the footsteps of their Lord and Savior, that they went to the cross and was beat to a pulp. And the least they could do was go out to people that are going into a literal hell and love them and tell them that your churches are telling you lies. You must be saved. You must come to Jesus, and they need to hear this.
Yeah, and Bob, I've got to jump in just because we're out of time.
Right.
But I'm thrilled to be on WEZE in Boston with others who are speaking the word. God willing, I'll be in Boston the first week of October, speaking at a pastor's luncheon and then doing a radio rally where I can get to meet a lot of the listeners. So folks, will give you more details about that. Hopefully I can be a further encouragement to those who are serving the Lord together in Boston. And just to clarify one thing Bob said when he said there'll be blood on our hands, what he means is that's the biblical way of saying we'll be accountable. We'll be accountable for people's lives. So for those who didn't understand the biblical reference by Bob. But I hope you heard the passion in his voice. I hope you heard the brokenness in his voice, that we need to be about our Father's business. You say, man, I just don't have a burden. Ask God. Ask God. Burden me. Share your heart with me. Break my heart for a lost and dying world. Change my heart, Lord. Shatter my indifference because I know I'm hardened, because I know I don't carry the burden of the Lord. And let me just say this. When we've gone out in these gay pride events by the hundreds or in individual form, people are not beating us up. People are not attacking us. People are not hostile. We remind our folks, you may run into a little hostility, but for the most part, you're going to run into decent people, okay? And you're going to run into hurting people and people who need Jesus like everyone else. Talk about the life-transforming power of the gospel. God saved me when I was 16 years old, heroin shooting. Many of you know my story. A remarkable story of David Berkowitz, son of Sam to son of hope. Every so often he gets media attention because he'll come up for parole and he'll say, no, I'm behind bars the rest of my life. I'm not looking to be paroled. I'm guilty. I've destroyed lives, but Jesus has changed me. I'm a free man. We put out a video, a DVD, some years ago called From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. It's phenomenal. And I want to encourage you to get a copy or order two copies. We reduce the price. We'll pay the postage. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. I'd love to see these go out by the hundreds because they are incredible. Show in prison, show in high schools, show in your home, show in your church. Tremendous testimony of the grace of God and a great warning about what happens when we play with sin. So call our resource office. Our folks are ready right now. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, when a gay pride event comes to your city and says, we are out and proud, we are not ashamed, we are proud of our homosexuality, our bisexuality, our transgenderism, isn't it only right that God's people come out and say, we are not ashamed of Jesus?
Change the world.
Well, what do you know? The God Has a Better Way outreach rally happened at Pride Charlotte this past Saturday, and believe it or not, the local newspaper got it entirely wrong.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I wrote an article that we will be posting, in a day or two, if we do not get the record set straight locally. The article is called The Charlotte Observer Celebrates Drag Queens and Denigrates Christians. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask Dr. Brown. .org. In fact, if you go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, we just posted an article on One News Now called When Drag Queens Lead the Way, and a new twist on what it means to corrupt the youth. If you were at the event, if you were at the God Has a Better Way event on Saturday in Charlotte, one of the hundreds of believers that gathered together to share the gospel and to be a witness and a presence in the midst of Pride Charlotte, and you want to share your own impression, your own testimony, what it was like, or significant contact interaction you had, give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We had folks that over a three-week period were praying nightly, some fasting different ways through the 3 weeks. And then Friday night was our final time of praying together. Also heard some testimonies of folks who had come out of homosexuality by the power of God. Then Saturday we gathered at First Baptist Church, a landmark church in the city of Charlotte. In fact, it was quite significant Saturday night. The Duke Power building, our local power company, the large, beautiful building in the heart of the city, was lit up in rainbow colors to celebrate Pride Charlotte. Of course, grievous to see that. We love the people, absolutely oppose the agenda and oppose the behavior and say there is a better way. So there's the building lit up. But from where we were having our outreach concert Saturday night, someone pointed out, look, and there was the cross high up there on the top of First Baptist. That as you looked up first, you saw the cross before you saw that building lit up. Well, we gathered at First Baptist about 11:30. The organizers had put together a tent, and we gathered, under the tent for a time of worship together. We worshiped, we prayed, we repented of our own sins, of our own uncleanness, of our own shortcomings, of our own lack of love. We gave clear guidelines as to how we were to conduct ourselves. Everyone that put on one of the God Has a Better Way red T-shirts signed, and they signed quite gladly, saying that they would participate in this way. And then we walked over to the event, several blocks walk. We grabbed pallets of water, bottles of water. We grabbed gospel tracts. We grabbed invitations to the evening concert. And we went out, men, women, and children, multicolor, multi-ethnic, representing Jesus and representing the message that God has a better way. And at one point, as we walked through the crowds, which were right in the heart of Charlotte, as the Gay Pride event wanted to plainly send a message out to the city saying that we are here and we are out and proud and we want prominence and we want representation, as if they were an oppressed in the closet community before. So I find that somewhat ironic, but they wanted to make a public statement. And probably had more people attending than I've seen in the previous years. It's hard to say because everyone kind of kept in a certain area because of the way things were set up this year. But they may have had more. They said they had their largest attendance. But we walked through. We were a presence there from early to mid-afternoon. And as we were walking through, handing out bottles of water that said, Jesus loves you, GodHasABetterWay.com, someone overheard one of the gay attendees saying, there are more straight people here than gay. And yet, the Charlotte Observer got it all wrong. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give you a little interesting history of our interaction with the Charlotte Observer, and hopefully this one will prove constructive, as I've written to two different correspondents who posted coverage of the Pride Charlotte event, different aspects of it, one with a significant omission and kind of misleading presentation, the other with complete misrepresentation. We'll see if they allow us to set the record straight. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. I put out a question in the first hour. I want to repeat it now. Why do you think, with gay pride events in major cities and minor cities, small cities all over America, with very large presence and much being proclaimed in these events, with a clear desire to be, quote, out and proud, why do you think there's so little Christian presence? Why do you think there's so few believers that gather together? Why do you think what's happened now in Charlotte on a few different occasions where we've gathered as many as 500 people to go into the midst of the gay pride event with the gospel, why do you think that is unprecedented nationally, even internationally, from what I understand? Why is you didn't need seminary training to do this. In fact, all we asked people to do was put on a red T-shirt and walk through the event. And if they wanted to give out bottles of water or gospel literature or invite people to the concert that night or just make eye contact and tell them God loves them, I mean, that's all they had to do. And if all they want to do is just walk with us, they do that. It was not hard. It was not hard. Nobody's life was being threatened. Nobody's job was being threatened. In fact, interestingly, one man who works with Wells Fargo, which of course took over Wachovia, the other major bank in our city, along with Bank of America, both of which are famously gay-friendly. And by gay-friendly, I don't mean that they hire gay people. I mean they support gay activism quite aggressively. So one gentleman saw us walking by and saw our red shirts. God has a better way. He worked with Wells Fargo. He said, I'm so sick and tired of what this company's doing in our city. And he put on one of the shirts and joined us. Why do you think there are so few Christians standing up and standing out? I'm not saying yelling, screaming in a mean and angry way. I'm saying just being there. Just being there to meet people and share the gospel with them. Why so few? So back to my relationship with the Charlotte Observer. In 2005, when I say we, I want to repeat, this is joint effort by different ministries. I've been involved in these things on different levels, but when I say we, I mean different ministries, different churches, different organizations working together. Some may have had larger numbers than others, but it's a joint effort. We organized 125 red-shirted witnesses to go into the midst of what was then called Charlotte Pride, held in Marshall Park in the heart of our city in 2005. And these folks fasted, prayed. Many of them were students from Fire School of Ministry. Other ministries were standing in different parts of the park, around the park, preaching with loudspeakers and with Bible verses on signs. And our 125, we sent them in and said, listen, you be a friend of sinners today. Make it your goal. Make it your goal for someone to invite you into their home. I mean, if that's what you want, that you'll actually befriend people, because they think we all hate them. They think we're there to just condemn them as the worst of all sinners. So, and by the way, some people at the gay pride event are the worst of all sinners, and some people sitting in your church are the worst of all sinners. We have needs all over the place. So our folks went in there with grace, with kindness, shared the gospel. Well, then there's a report in the Charlotte Observer talking about what happened, talking about the red-shirted people in there. And without asking any of our people, from our perspective, it interviewed others at the gay pride event and said how we were full of hate and bashing people with the Bible and so on. So I met with the editor of the Charlotte Observer, and I asked him about this. And I said, you know, look at this coverage. He said, well, that's not good coverage because they didn't get your side from your mouth. They've got other people talking about your side and characterizing your side. And of course, it was 100% false characterization. God is our witness to that. But didn't have our side even represented. So the Observer, to their credit, invited me to write an article, which I did in response. And the theme was, shouldn't we stop pushing the hate button? I didn't attack others, but I simply said we were there to preach the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. And our shirts, the front said liberated, the back said transformed by the blood of Jesus. That's what we were doing there. That's why we were there. And our folks had several hundred quality conversations with people there and got to pray with a number of hurting people, and some exchanged emails just to stay in contact and things like that. But I said, look, we should just stop pushing the hate button, because the moment you push it, you hate. We can't have a discussion, dialogue. And I have part of that editorial in chapter 2 of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter on Jewish Hitler's Christian jihadists and the magical effects of pushing the hate button. That was back in 2005, so it's completely biased coverage, didn't give full side of the story, and it happened with other things. I addressed them about some other issues. This is the first time, though, they invited me to write an editorial in response. Okay, fast forward now to 2009, and I interacted with the editor in advance. I told them what we were going to be doing. We were gathering hundreds. Our goal was 1,000, but we did get 500 people, thank God, that came together. And we were going to stand around outside of the Gay Pride event, which is now in a different part of the city, and we were going to worship and pray, and some people would go in and share the gospel. And the Observer sent a correspondent to interact with me and to interact with folks on the other side, and it was a fair and balanced story. Without question, a fair and balanced story. Probably each side had something they would have said a little differently if it was up to... But for newspaper reporting, right down the middle, a fair story. And I immediately wrote and commended them. Well, this year now, 2011, as the Gay Pride event moved from the outskirts of the city where it was last year, right to the heart of the city, wanting to make a public statement, which I'll come back to in a little while, wanting to promote acceptance in the heart of the city, I emailed again. I sent a press release to the editor and said, I want you to know what we're doing. Now, this press release was actually carried by Charisma News, and they ran an article saying what was going to be happening and the hundreds that were going to be gathering wearing these red shirts. I mean, we had it in writing, red shirts that were going to say, God has a better way. We'd be handing out free bottles of water, etc. And then One News Now ran an article on it. They did an interview with me about what was going to be happening. So this was now out in news outlets, widely read news outlets online in Christian circles. Plus, The Observer had the article from me, the press release from me. So what happens, I wake up early in the morning, Sunday morning. We again had a great turnout. We worshiped together at First Baptist Church. We walked over from First Baptist to the event. We handed out thousands of bottles of water and gospel literature. There were other Christians in there for hours and hours passing out rainbow-colored literature that just shared the gospel. They weren't even trying to get in conversations, just hand it out, let people have the gospel. There were others, a small number, that were standing at the entrance points going to the event that had signs, basically repent or perish message. There was another ministry that was down. They had to be a little bit down the block because of sound permit issues. That factors into another story, okay? So there were probably one, two, three, four, at least four different groups involved. But it just so happened that because of our numbers, we were the one that was the most obvious physical presence. I mean, let's say at one moment there were several thousand people, maybe the crowd built, and maybe there were 5,000 or 8,000 at any one time later in the day. I don't know what the actual number was. But let's just say when we were there early afternoon, maybe there were 3,000 or 4,000 there people. Well, we had 300 or 400 or more all wearing red shirts saying God is a better way. That stands out. That's conspicuous. That gets your attention. And we're handing out thousands of bottles of free water. Come on, how often does that happen? And the bottle said, Jesus loves you, God is a better way.com. So again, someone attending the event made the comment, overheard by one of my colleagues, there are more straight people here than gay. Let me say something else. We had a good turnout of African-American Christians that joined us for the event. And one pastor in the city in particular put this on his website, sent out a van to get people, bring them to the event together, prayed with us at the end with a real heart for the Lord. And gay pride events are not typically black or even Hispanic. They're typically white. They're typically historically white events. In fact, there is even a black gay pride event in Charlotte that's a separate event. So at one point, I'm walking around looking at this, and I'm seeing more African-Americans wearing the God Has a Better Way t-shirt walking through the event than I'm seeing African-Americans who are just attending as gays and lesbians. It was a conspicuous testimony in the midst of it. And The Observer has an article. I wake up, I don't know, 3, 4 in the morning. I'd fallen asleep a little earlier. I wake up 3, 4 in the morning, Sunday morning. Can't go to sleep. Get online to see. And sure enough, there's an article. There's an article about the event. It has some irony in it that I want to share with you in a moment. But it had a complete omission of our presence and mention of others that gave quite a misleading impression. Oh, and then another article completely had false information about us. Surprised?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's my perennial question. If the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community can be out and proud, why can't we, as followers of Jesus, be out and proud? Come on. This is our message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Come on, this is foundational to us. Not being obnoxious, not forcing our way on people and forcing our conversation in unnatural ways to just so we can't even talk to people. No, I'm talking about living this out. It's worth asking. It's worth asking. Me asking myself, you asking yourself, am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed of Jesus? I have, since I've been saved, been an active witness and handed out tracts on street corners and knocked on doors and handed out tracts and looked for people to witness to in different settings and, you know, just wherever I'm around people when I'm flying. Years back when I used to take the bus as a kid before I had a driver's license. I mean, I'm just always looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And yet, I realized when I used to be taking the train into New York City many years ago when I was either working or in college or grad school, I should say, or teaching in the city, I realized that I'd be sitting next to someone, maybe, you know, rush hour, he's reading his newspaper, I'm reading the Bible, doing whatever, we're both resting. And then shortly before we get off the train, I'd say, hey, can I give you something to read? And I'd give him a tract, maybe with my life testimony or something like that. And I asked myself, why are you giving it out at the end? And I thought, probably because I don't want to be rejected, and probably because I don't want it to be uncomfortable the rest of the way, and this is more safe, you know, just, I had to analyze that and ask myself about that. Are you ashamed of the gospel? 866-34-TRUTH. So back to the Charlotte Observer and their miscoverage, their lack of coverage of the God Has a Better Way event in Charlotte. Again, we sent them a press release saying what would happen 2 years ago. They gave us fair coverage. So I've written this article, and if I'm not able to work things out with The Observer to write an editorial setting the record straight, which is what I've asked them to do, and they've let me do that in the past, we'll probably release this article in the next day or two. It's called The Charlotte Observer Celebrates Drag Queens and Denigrates Christians. In the meantime, by all means, read a related article of mine that just came out less than an hour ago on onenewsnow.com. Called When Drag Queens Lead the Way. So here's what happened. The Charlotte Observer's coverage of the August 27th Gay Pride event held in the heart of Charlotte's business district was marked by significant omissions and misrepresentations, along with some surely unintended irony. First, the irony. There were two articles related to Pride Charlotte, the primary article noting that Saturday's event was the first to be held in such a prominent area, a move organizers said was made to promote acceptance. This push to promote acceptance was confirmed by Q-Notes editor and Pride Charlotte spokesman Matt Comer. Quote, we are just as valid a community group as any other. Ironically, these two comments immediately followed these lines. Quote, at the Wells Fargo Plaza, drag queens lip-synced to pop music for a cheering crowd. One of the hot pink wig and matching knee-high boots danced to Katy Perry's California Girls. Say what? Now, this part of the article resembles my When Drag Queens Lead the Way article, so there's a little bit in common, then it goes its own way. So again, the question I asked in the first hour, how many other community groups feature prominent performances by drag queens at their events? Can you imagine crowds in an Hispanic Pride event or Black Pride event or Asian Pride event, just to name a few, being entertained by men wearing dresses or less, hot pink wigs and matching knee-high boots? And this is part of the LGBT strategy to promote acceptance? How telling. And how telling that, unmentioned by the Observer, there was a large truck stationed next to the festival offering free HIV testing. Yes, just another typical community event. But the Observer's reporting not only highlighted the irony of the day, albeit unintentionally, it also presented a very misleading picture. The main article on Pride Charlotte noted that several people holding Bibles and wearing shirts that said repent or perish stood at intersections and shouted scripture to those passing by. A few festival goers stopped to argue with them, but most walked by as the preacher's shouts were drowned out by music. This was true, but there was another side to the story left out entirely by the Observer. Now, when I interacted with the woman who wrote the article, she said, well, when I came in the afternoon, later in the day, you weren't there. If you were there, I would have reported it. Well, they did have a press release saying we'd be there. That press release did go out to some other national media and was posted online by one or two national Christian news services that are prominently read. So there's no reason not to know what was going to happen. Plus, her article reported on things that happened, like the mayor, for the first time, the mayor of Charlotteans, just remember this, your mayor, for the first time, welcomed the gay pride event in the city publicly, got up and welcomed them. Of course, we welcome people, but we don't welcome certain behaviors. We don't welcome certain things in our city streets, like drag queens performing at a, quote, family-friendly event. In any case, the mayor, for whom we should pray, addressed everyone. That was in the article, and that happened while we were there. So there's some reporting done, and the report is supposed to investigate, find out, get a picture of things. We certainly had a significant presence for a part of the day, quite surely. So there were other Christians at Pride Charlotte, too, and they were really quite hard to miss. I'm speaking of the participants of the God Has a Better Way Outreach Rally, which drew together dozens of evangelical churches and more than 400 evangelical Christians, all wearing red shirts, emblazoned with the God Has a Better Way message. And yet, we were left out entirely. No, it gets worse. It gets worse because a certain picture is painted of different Christian groups that are there. Then our group is completely misrepresented, falsely represented in another article. So we've reached out to the Observer about these things. We've said you need to correct this. And again, if they don't, then we'll just put out this article. Not to be vengeful, but just to get the facts out. Okay, the other side of the break. Have you heard about when you sign up for a YouTube account, what it asks for about gender? Well, just want to mention that. I want to tell you what happened to a mother of six at the Pride Charlotte event when we come back. And I want to tell you what the Observer really got wrong. So all that coming your way. One of the most significant conversion stories of the 20th century was that of David Berkowitz. David, known as Son of Sam, the notorious serial killer, the most infamous serial killer in New York City history, a Satanist, gloriously saved in prison, genuinely wonderfully saved. I had the privilege of spending time with him some years ago. One of my close friends is very close with David. I mean, a transformed man from Son of Sam to Son of Hope. He recently came in the news again saying that he's not going to ask for parole. He's done terrible damage, wishes he could go back and undo the damage he did. He can never fix that, but he's a free man in Jesus and is not asking for parole, and will gladly spend the rest of his life behind bars and ministering to the other prisoners. His stories come to prominence again. We have this amazing DVD we put out some years ago called From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. Get it at a reduced price, or better yet, get two or more. We'll pay the postage. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to get the Son of Sam, Son of Hope DVD. 1-800-278-9978. Trust me, you will not regret it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what is it? Why are we so conspicuously absent from major gay pride events in our city? Why are not we there in large number, sharing the love of God, simply being a presence, just being there identifiably as Christians, saying we differ with your agenda, we differ with some of your public displays, and we love you, and Jesus died for you, and we're here to show you hope in Jesus. Why aren't we there? And those that feel to go and preach, repent, or perish, let people go as the Lord leads them to go. Every human being doesn't know Jesus needs to repent, otherwise they'll perish. But why aren't we there? What's getting in the way? I'm talking to folks all over Atlanta now. You've got a massive gay pride event. It just seems so intimidating that, you know, what to do. Come on, there's so many mega churches in Atlanta. If you just got a couple thousand people between all the churches in Atlanta to just show up at an event, all wearing the same shirts that identify them, and to be a presence, I'm telling you, it would change the atmosphere. We've done it in Charlotte. I'm an eyewitness to it, even if the local paper misreports it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, just posted an article called When Drag Queens Lead the Way. In fact, let me tell you how this article ends. Read the whole article to get the feel of what I'm talking about. But I normally don't share the same story in detail twice in the same day, but this is just too amazing. One of our faculty members here at the School of Ministry, he and his wife have six kids. He's been a leader in our midst at Fire for years in our community here. And his daughters are older, a little bit older than four boys aged 5 to 12. So he's, you know, we had different groups of people. We gathered together at First Baptist Church in the heart of the city. We prayed, we worshiped, we got bottles of water, we signed pledges in terms of our conduct would be exemplary in a Christ-like spirit. And then we put on the God Has a Better Way t-shirts, and we prayed, repented of our own sins, and then walked into the midst of the gay pride event. As I've said several times, at one point, someone looked over, saw our presence, said there are more straight people here than gay. It certainly was not numerically true, but it felt like that for a time. And there may have actually been numerically, at a certain time of the day, more Black Americans wearing God Has a Better Way t-shirts than Black gay attendees, because it's such a white event otherwise. So the multiracial witness stood out as well. But this mom is walking with her four kids, right? She's walking into the gay pride event with her four sons. Husband's somewhere else, the daughter's somewhere else. They're wearing God Has a Better Way t-shirts. Now remember, you got drag queens performing. You've got men in different parts of sex change surgery, you know, and hormones. So, I mean, they're very visibly men, but they have female breasts and long hair. And it's very sad. A lot of broken, hurting people there. And some that we talked to admitted to having been sexually abused. And so their outlet was now the gay community as opposed to a healthy relationship with God and the opposite sex. So, this mother with her four sons is walking into the gay pride event. They're aged 5 to 12. They're all wearing the God Has a Better Way t-shirt. And someone sees them walking in and shouts out, "You're corrupting the youth!" I mean, it is one of the most upside down things I've ever heard in my life. You homeschooling mom, raising your kids to love God and fear God and do what's right. And now in the midst of a gay pride event, sharing the love of God and the truth of God and being a presence, you're corrupting the youth, whereas everybody else doing what they're doing is, words fail. So what about the Charlotte Observer and their very poor coverage this year? Hopefully they'll make amends and fix it and allow us to help them fix it. You know, about 6-7 years ago, they advertised at the Human Rights Campaign fundraising dinner, and they said, "We covered 187 gay and lesbian stories last year in our paper," and they boasted about it. What do you know?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There was a national leader who was with us at the event on Saturday at the God Has a Better Way event. And he said, we've got to export this across the country. We've got to do it. The folks that were doing the nitty-gritty organizing and calling pastors together, and I was part of the process, but not doing most of the organizing, not the energy behind it, not the fundraising behind it to make the event happen. So my hat's off to all those that worked so hard to make this event a success. We have a template that can easily be exported. We've got folks we're working with together in the city that would gladly go to another city if pastors, leaders say, okay, what can we do? But, you know, the simple thing, and it's a shame a whole lot more people didn't come from the greater Charlotte area, because if we double, triple, quadruple our numbers, it would completely change the complexion of these events. And we're doing it in a way that magnifies Jesus. We're doing it walking through the event with smiles and handing out bottles of free water, saying Jesus loves you on the bottles, with a GodHasABetterWay.com reference on them. We're engaging people that want to engage. I just go up to others, shake hands, and say, God loves you, you know, and talk with anyone that wanted to talk. There is a presence, and there is a testimony, and there is a witness. But just the numbers of people, when our group, we walked through the event for a period of time, and then because we had families and, you know, moms, dads, kids, we had to be sensitive to that. So we walked back out at a certain point. I stayed around with a friend after most everybody had left, and the whole atmosphere started to change. I'm just telling you, there was a bit more hostility directed towards us in people's eyes, but there was much more of a kind of, oh, what can I say, an overt exaltation that got rained on when we were there. 866-34-TRUTH. Why aren't there more Christians standing up making a difference? Look, I learn from what people do in other cities. I learn from what people do in other countries. I constantly see things we could do better, we're not doing, I'm not doing, all right? This is not a self-righteous thing. This is simply to say this is something by God's grace we've done working with other ministries and churches in the city. And boy, it has an impact, makes a difference, even if the local paper doesn't cover it. I'll get your calls in a moment, 866-34-TRUTH. But everyone participating in the event and put on the red shirts that said, God has a better way, sign this pledge. One, I will speak the truth in love. Two, I will seek to befriend those who oppose me. Three, I will seek to overcome bad attitudes with good attitudes. Four, I will seek to be a living example of Jesus. Five, I will not compromise biblical standards or convictions. Six, I will not violate the law. Was any of this reported by the Observer, Charlotte Observer? No. Again, they had a press release that this would be happening. They covered it fairly when we were there in large number 2 years ago. We had to address bad coverage back in 2005. They allowed us to fix that with an editorial. I'm hoping they will this year. If not, we've got this article that'll come out in a day or two. The Charlotte Observer celebrates drag queens and denigrates Christians. So this gets overlooked, all right? But it gets worse, because there was a second article that reported on the arrest of a local Christian leader for violation of the city's sound ordinance. So that was worth them covering, okay? That was worth them covering. And the article informs us that the violation occurred when he raised his voice while preaching on the wrath of God. So here's what the Observer reports. Several people holding Bibles and wearing shirts that said repent or perish stood at intersections and shouted scriptures to those passing by, and they were largely ignored. Reports that, okay? And that did happen. It reports another brother, a Christian leader in the city, who gets arrested for violating sound permit. Okay? And what happened was, and he's down the block. I mean, it's completely bogus that from my perspective that the police were going after him. You couldn't even hear him from where we were standing in the event itself as he and his team were preaching. He gets arrested. He's too loud in what he's talking about, the wrath of God on sinners, when he gets arrested, right? Ignores our presence. But then it adds this. It says this, that there were dozens of protesters, like this brother who was arrested, and it said many wore red shirts that said repent or perish. So number one, it changes our numbers from hundreds to dozens. One article ignores us. The other changes our numbers from hundreds to dozens. And then it completely changes what our shirts said. We look, if God sends people in with a repent or perish message, fine. But I'm talking about accurate reporting. Our message was God has a better way, and that's what was on our shirts. I understand that offends the gay community, saying God is a better way. God is a better way. I wear that shirt all the time in public. You know, if it's a T-shirt I'm going to put on, I wear it because it's a message for humanity. So the Observer completely gets it wrong, blatantly. I mean, it would be like saying you're at a vegan conference and your shirts said, I don't know. You're at a chicken conference, a chicken eating conference, and your shirt said, eat burgers only, whereas your shirt instead said, we love fowl. You know, I'm just trying to give you an analogy. That's how wrong it was. But, of course, the Observer did. They did mention the other Christians there in a positive light, noting that several churches came to hand out information about their places of worship. We're open and receptive, John Houghton said of his church, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Charlotte. So the only one that actually gets quoted here, okay, in the main article, is someone from a gay-affirming church. The Christians that are mentioned are preaching repent or perish or the wrath of God, and they're just a handful of them, all right? And the presence of hundreds and hundreds of people, which is historic for this to happen. They had thousands of free bottles of water and gospel literature and invited people to an outreach concert that night. That gets either ignored or misrepresented. So I wrote this. The lesson from all this is simple. Preach hell and wrath at a gay pride event, and the Observer will denigrate you. Affirm homosexuality in Jesus' name, and the Observer will laud you. Break with the stereotype by the hundreds, and the Observer will ignore you or misrepresent you. Be a drag queen, and the Observer will celebrate you. But we shouldn't be too surprised in 2007 at the annual Carolinas fundraising dinner for the Human Rights Campaign, more aptly called the Homosexual Rights Campaign. The Observer boasted that it had featured 187 gay-themed stories the previous year. They can now add these two recent stories to their list. They have certainly done themselves proud. Oh, by the way, note just sent to me earlier, if you go to set up an account on YouTube, gender, male, female, or other. But of course, Jay in Rock Hill, South Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, just to answer your question, my wife and I attended, and we stood outside the event. We went into worship with you guys, and it was a great fellowship. And we had invited a lot of our friends because we didn't know anything about your organization going and stuff until too late. But we had friends come in, and they basically didn't want to go because it almost was like they were afraid to go because they would give us various different reasons. And the main reason was they felt that overall the homosexual community would be very hateful and very angry and could even get very violent towards them, and they just didn't want to be in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you were in the midst of it, and as much as I differ with the goals of the Pride Charlotte event and as much as I hurt for the people there, I could have guaranteed you no one's going to get violent with us. It's just not what's happening. So Jay, you walk through the event with the several hundred folks wearing the red shirts saying God has a better way. What was your impression of what was happening in Pride Charlotte, people you may have met, and how were you received as you walked through?
It was actually very positive. It was a lot more calm. I think people have built it up in their own mind based off of, you know, some small events they might have seen before. Everyone who was there was very polite. They're very receptive. You know, we stood on the outskirts for a long time after the 2:30 callback time. We were up there till about 4:00, 4:30, and most of the people were very positive. A few of the people said a few things, but that's not a big issue. Nobody put any hands on us, and it was actually a very calm atmosphere as far as the Christian goes.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised at what I actually saw at some of the vendors.
Yes.
I was kind of surprised that was allowed to be out in public view. And, you know, as far as the lady with the children, when they shouted at her, kind of surprised because a lot of the couples there, the homosexual couples, had a lot of toddlers and
Oh yeah, but see that's fine though, Jay. In other words, that's not corrupting the youth to bring them to the Pride Charlotte event or to raise them in a home where they won't know what a mom and dad together look like. But if we say God has a better way, where there is Christian families, heterosexual, we're corrupting the youth. Hey, Jay, one last thing really quickly. Tell you what, stay on the line. I want to get you on the other side, and then everybody on hold, I'll get your calls as soon as we come back. I just want to ask you about what you saw that surprised you with some of the vendors. I have an article called When Drag Queens Lead the Way. You can read it online right now. Go to onenewsnow.com. It's on their homepage, onenewsnow.com. When Drag Queens Lead the Way. Give you a little picture of some of what happened at an event much more tame than most gay pride events in America, but still not what you would call family friendly.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's one of the great testimonies that came out of the God Has a Better Way outreach on Saturday. A woman who had come out of bisexuality herself and that used to perform in gay clubs had a lengthy conversation with a man who was a leading drag queen at the event. He was brought to tears during their time of conversation and exchanged phone numbers and email addresses. So let's pray that God will really bring him in and set him free. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Jay, just before I go to some other callers, you said that you were surprised by some of the things that were out in the open at some of the vendors' booths. Now, they pride themselves at these gay pride events. The organizers said it's, quote, family-friendly. So I challenge how family-friendly it is in my article, When Drag Queens Lead the Way, that's up at onenewsnow.com. But what were some of the things that you saw? Obviously, we can't be too detailed here over the air, but some of the things you saw that surprised you that were open at this event?
Well, I was expecting more of something like maybe some T-shirts or short shorts. I kind of expected those. Those are clothing items. But as we went through, there were multiple booths with the leather, and there were other, I'm just going to use the word in general, like sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
That there were multiple booths with that, along with all the contents of those. And I was really surprised that as a public event that was even allowed to be, no matter what event it is or who it's for, that was out there. And there were a lot of children there, like I said earlier. And I did read your article during the break.
Okay, good for you.
that was about right. And that's what actually shocked me. You know, I expected to see some food out there. Mm-hmm. You know, with different businesses, with T-shirts, saying they support, you know, so forth, and maybe some clothing, but the leather and the stuff that should be in private homes, out in the open.
And, you know, Jay, I asked one of the organizers, I said, what's with the leather booth? He said, what's wrong with wearing leather? I said, come on, it's bondage stuff. That's what it signifies. You got one guy that was wearing a leather harness. You know, what's that about? And that's the thing that if you're going to have an event to say, look, we're just like everybody else, then don't have drag queens performing there. Don't have booths, you know, for, quote, bear encounters, which is not National Geographic stuff. You know, don't have that. Don't have men walking around in various stages of sex change so that here's a guy with his long hair and female breasts that's very visibly a man still and just, yikes, and it's a lot of hurting people that need the Lord, but why display that? That quote, pride is not the thing to be proud of. That displays the need. But hey, Jay, thanks for being part of the event. Thanks for making the trip up from South Carolina. And God willing, next year, maybe we could double or triple or quadruple our numbers. And then there's the Democratic National Convention coming after that. Look, can I just say this again? Just being there made a difference. For all you that were thinking about coming and didn't, just being there, just walking through the event makes a difference. And then we had, 50 or 60 folks, teenagers from our congregation, from Fire Church, some from our School of Ministry, Fire School of Ministry, and then others, believers from different churches and ministries in the city, all coming together that did not put on the red God Has a Better Way t-shirt and just walked through the event looking for people to speak with. And that's when there was a significant conversation with a drag queen there. There were some very significant conversations with quite a number of people, even reports of people receiving the Lord while there. So we're going to gather more of those testimonies and share them with you as we can. All right, time for one last call. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon. Good to talk to you. All right,
thank you.
I wanted to comment on something. You know, this weekend was a monument that was dedicated to Dr. King's Memorial in Washington. And one of the things that Dr. King did so gloriously with the movement that he led, people did not say anything. They prayed. Now, with the abortion, with abortioners, with people of the gay movement, gay rights movement, if people were to just go and pray, many times in silence, don't you think that would be effective?
Oh, yes. And Shirley, 2 years ago, we had hundreds of people who specifically went just to pray. This year we walked through the event. Let's just say this. Walk through the event praying silently. Walk through the event.
That's right.
Holding hands, two people, you know, or just walking together. And well, you know, probably won't, men with men, women with women don't want to be holding hands because I sent the wrong message. But, yeah, just walking through.
No. You can't be afraid of that either.
You're right. But
what's happening to straight people. I don't care if somebody sees me hug a woman.
Right. No, I understand.
I'm with you
on that, Shirley.
Yeah.
But hey, I just got to jump in because we're just about out of time. But what you're saying, Shirley, is so important. It is a presence. And you know,
yes.
Gay pride events are mainly white historically.
Yes.
So there's a separate black gay pride event before this event. And at our event, we had a lot of African-American Christians from Greater Charlotte that came together.
Right.
And as we were walking through, I was going up to them. I said, look, I'm a white male. You know, your presence is so much louder than my presence, because I'm looking around and I actually saw more black Christians wearing the red T-shirts than I saw black gay people walking around. I thought, what a witness. What a testament.
That
just
is a witness.
Just being there, walking through the event, it changes the whole environment. It kind of rains on the parade. But when we also do it in a peaceful way, in a gracious way, in a loving way, it makes a difference. Hey, I'm out of time, but God bless you, Shirley.
Thank you.
All right, look, we'll help you. We'll help you. You get pastors, leaders together in your city. We'll help you put a plan together. And we can make a difference. We are making a difference. Jesus is working. There is a testimony going forward. All right. Tremendously wonderful testimony. From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. I'd love to get hundreds of these DVDs out. We put out the story of David Berkowitz, some years ago, the amazing conversion, transformation of New York City's most infamous serial killer. David's a transformed man of God, ministering in prison where he'll be the rest of his life, rightly so, and sharing the gospel there, making a difference. An amazing story. This has been shown in prisons. It's been shown in high schools. It's great to watch individually, watch in your church. Get a couple of copies. We reduce the price. We'll pay the postage as well. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Order from Son of Sam to Son of Hope.